G'day, it's Friday the 9th of December 2015. This is part three of my editorial. My name is Michael Smith on the Trade Union Royal Commission's final report during 3 weeks from today. The final overarching comment I'd like to make is that the examination of Gillard's role in this matter, I think, needs to be conducted as an examination of a course of conduct from which no element can be excised and examined in isolation without having regard to the way it interacts or interrelates with the other elements of her course of conduct. What I mean by that is that you say, righto, well, let's look at the date on which the power of attorney was signed. And through a convoluted exculpatory explanation, you're able to stitch together a half-baked, you know, implausible, but a story in which doubt's created. You think, oh, well, you know, I suppose, you know, shit, if Ralph did have dinner at the Thai joint the night before, and if he was due on a plane to go back to Perth the next day, and we know he was, so that's the bookends of the timing, yeah, it's possible he could have driven into town with Bruce, raced upstairs, seen it, possibly signed it on the 4th, and then went home to Perth. It's possible that they had it at the auction, and it's possible they just forgot to note it down. It's possible they forgot to create a copy, and it's possible they forgot to certify. It's possible she forgot to write a letter of engagement. It's possible that, you know, right? So you can do that in respect of each of the matters, this architect of concealed misbehaviour participated in. It's possible to do it. I know, I bloody looked at this thing for years. What is impossible and implausible and beyond a reasonable doubt is the proposition that, taken in succession, each of the steps she made was of an entirely innocent nature, having regard to the sequence. So let's take another example here. Bruce comes to her and says, I want a payroll deduction re-election fund. Between them, they come up with this name, Australian Workers Union. Now, the rules prohibit it. Common sense prohibits you being called that for the purpose of establishing bank accounts. Why? Because obvious. Bloody checks that are intended for the Australian Workers Union may end up in this account owned by you. But let's get over the first hurdle. That's the name. They put it forward to the Commissioner. The Commissioner for Corporate Affairs writes back and says, hang on, shit, on our register, that name's taken. This could be confused with the proper owner of that name, the Australian Workers Union. It's a union, and our legislation expressly prohibits unions being incorporated under the provisions of the Act that I administer, Associations Incorporation Act. Now, when that letter's written back, for Christ's sakes, she writes back and says, hang on, no, this is dead set legit. This is all good. I am responsible for legal advice in this matter, and this is all good. And then, knowing that there is no unincorporated association to be incorporated, she writes a draft note for bloody Blewett to send. The pretense, she even says, write it on letterhead of the association that's a fiction. Commissioner, come on. Give us a break. We didn't come down in the last shower. Taken as a course of conduct in its entirety, there is no innocent explanation for each of the actions in sequence that Gillard was responsible for. I'll try and leave you with a simple little analogy. If you go to a couple's house, they're newlyweds, they've got bloody wedding cards, photos, presents in the house, new house, and you say, oh, how'd you get here? They say, oh, look, you know, we met at work, we got engaged, we started going out, we had this party here, here's the wedding album, here's the photos, blah, 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 blah. We got married, we went to Hayman Island, had a honeymoon. We came home. They show you all this stuff. You go, right, well, that's plausible. That sounds reasonable. The course of conduct leading to this day, me being here in the home of newlyweds, it's all coherent, all makes sense. Now look at this course of conduct with Wilson and Gillard. What led to them going away after he got the arse from the union to get their stories straight prior to her participating in the departure interview that flicked her from her job as a partner in a law firm? She never practiced law again, you know. She left on bad terms from Slater and Gordon. What led to that? How'd that happen? You then go through the course of conduct, and it is clear to me, as clear as daylight, that she conspired with her co-offenders, Wilson in particular, to a lesser extent Blewett, to achieve the things that they actually did. The evidence is crystal clear as to what happened. Why did it happen and who did it, Commissioner? If you play her game, good on you. If you participate in her setting of the rules, her saying, hey, 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 no, you've got to take these in isolation, each in its own individual context, each as a discrete event incapable of being influenced by the one that preceded or came after it, then you may well get the result that she did, that there's a scintilla of doubt and she should be given the benefit of it. I, for one, am much more of the inclination her partner, Nick Stein-Brown, had. I'm at the other end of the spectrum, Commissioner. You've had $80 million to look at this matter. You know she took the money from Wilson. You know she flushed it through her account. You know she wrote checks out that laundered that money to pretend she had provided the funds for her own renovations. New matters have come to light, as I set out in the first two of these editorials. And I hope to God that Australia does not record in its official history the notion that this woman acted properly and did nothing wrong. She did. And if we allow her example to continue to shine as an example of what people should aspire to, we will diminish the future of this country. We deserve better, Commissioner.